Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to finish up our church covenant tonight. It probably won't be a long service. We had a long enough business meeting, so. But I appreciate your input on that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this last section of our church covenant tonight. Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your watch care over us. And Father, as we finish up this last section of our church covenant, I pray that you would encourage our hearts with the ability, the enablement you give us to be unified and to serve you. And Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts tonight with these things and challenge us to be faithful. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you still got that paper we handed out a few weeks ago, we're going to the back of the page, and let me just read the initial statement. It says, the church covenant is a voluntary agreement. It's not something I'm going to come to your door and say, you are not doing this. Okay? It's a voluntary agreement whose point is to unify and define the goals, behaviors, and aims of the congregation according to biblical standards. It's something where the Bible points out how we can be unified as a church, how we can work together to see the body of Christ edified. And so tonight we're going to look at the last section there on the back page. And the first statement there is, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. And the first reference is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we're to come alongside, just like tonight when we prayed for Steve. Okay, that's a burden that they're carrying. Okay, we can carry that with them through prayer. Okay, we can help to carry that burden to Christ and plead with him to his will would be done. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so what the verse is saying there is one character quality of a Christian is that they love the brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to evaluate, are we even a believer? Have we even trusted Christ our Savior if we cannot love our brothers and sisters in Christ? And then back to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. I'll make sure I give you time to turn to the pages because somebody told me Emily was frustrated because she'd just get to one reference and I'd go to the next one. She said, ah. So I appreciate that little reproof. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, perfectness. And so we see here that those things are true of a mature believer, somebody who's growing in Christ. Are those qualities of mercy and kindness, humbleness of mind toward one another are true of a believer. And so we desire, we choose to engage, to watch over one another in brotherly love. Another one is we covenant to remember each other in prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And so Paul is saying there, please pray that our ministry will be effective. Pray that the word of God will be effective to reach hearts as it has in the folks there in Thessalonica. And then on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And so again, the author of Hebrews there is pleading for prayer for themselves. And then we read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so when we go through the week, if the Lord brings someone to mind, pray for them. If you know that they're struggling with something, pray for them. You know, I was mentioning this morning, we can minister to Barb. How? The greatest thing we can do for Barb is pray for her. Okay? There's a grieving process that has to happen, but we can ask the Lord to be her comfort. And we can also come alongside and help and encourage and just tell her we're here to support. If she needs anything, let us know. But just mainly we can pray for her. Pray that the Lord would be her comfort at this time. And there's others that have needs, physical needs, emotional needs, just all kinds of different needs that are out there. We just need to make sure we pray for one another. We also covenant to aid each other in sickness and distress. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul is talking to the Philippians here, and he says, for even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. And so it's, again, it's James chapter 2. Show me your faith by your works. Demonstrate to me that you're a Christian by the fact that you're desiring to meet the needs of other believers and other people that have needs. And as the Lord gives us opportunity as individuals, as a church, to meet people's needs, we need to take those opportunities. We need to do those things to help each other in sickness and distress. But particularly those, as the Bible says, those are of the household of faith, those who are of the local body of believers here. We also covenant to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again, it goes along with the last one, but it's helping to meet needs of others. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So a man who is wise, a man who has true knowledge, is going to use that to minister to others. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so if we take that perspective that what we're doing in the name of Christ, it'll affect how we respond to someone. It'll affect how we talk to somebody. And then chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And so talking about our sympathy and feeling courtesy in speech, okay? our flesh sometimes likes to respond differently. Sometimes we get into a difficult or a tense situation, our flesh wants to respond in like kind, wants to respond tensely, wants to respond aggressively or just, ugh. We've got to guard that. We've got to watch that. We've got to respond with grace, it says in Colossians 4:6. Responding with grace, seasoned with salt. You may know how you ought to answer a man. So responding appropriately, but yet graciously to the situation. And then we covenant to be slow to take offense, be always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the laws of our Savior to seek reconciliation without delay. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 7. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. But why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? And so if you look at the example of Christ and what he endured so that he could redeem us from our sin, so that he could buy us back, so that he could pay the penalty of our sin, what he endured and the wrong that he suffered, we can follow that example. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Here it's talking about reconciliation, about restoring a brother when it's dealt with biblically. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Look down at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Again, in our flesh, we say, three strikes, you're out. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I believe what he's saying here is you don't have a limit to how many times you need to forgive somebody. And they may do it over and over and over and over, the same thing over and over again. And he says, if they will repent, you forgive them. And that's the example of Christ. How many times do we look at our lives and say, how many times have I failed him? And how many times can I come back to him and say, Father, I've sinned? And what does he say he'll do? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as he forgives, as Ephesians 4:32, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you, we're to forgive others. And then finally here, we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Acts 18, verse 27. Talking about Apollos here, he had just been instructed by Aquila and Priscilla. It says in verse 27, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. And then over in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. And so, as Phoebe goes to another church, another area, Paul's saying, please receive her, please welcome her, please allow her to join your church and allow her to be a part of your assembly. She has ministered to me, and Paul, I believe, was saying she would do the same there. But it wasn't so that they would be benefited, it was that she would be encouraged, that she would be brought into fellowship with them. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We live in a day where we need to be fellowshipping with other believers. We need to be gathered together on a regular basis with other believers in a local church assembly. God has said that that's the case. God has said we need that. And as we see the day is getting worse and worse, as we see our government is getting worse and worse, our climate in our country, the political climate, the social climate, all that is getting worse and worse. The worst thing we can do is split up and just not come to church. Just, well, I've got things to do today. We need to make church a priority. We need to make assembling together a priority because, for one thing, it helps us to be equipped to go out and live in the world. To another thing, it helps us to encourage and build up one another, because we all need that. We were talking to somebody just recently, and they had left a church, and they had been gone for a few weeks. And they said, you know what? Nobody's called us. Nobody said, we missed you. And I'm thankful that people are gone here for 1 week. They'll come up to me and say, where were they? I don't know. I guess we better check. Guess we better find out. And I appreciate the fact that you are concerned for people that are coming. You want them to come back because it's important for us to be gathered together. It's important for us to be hearing God's word, to fellowship, to worship God, to sing praises to him. God has said that it's very important. He established the church in the book of Acts that we might, because he knows the times are necessary for us to do that. And so that is a part of the covenant that if we were, the Lord would direct us away from this place. Even when we're on vacation, make it a priority to get into a church somewhere. There's ways that you can find out what some good churches in an area. And sometimes they are a little bit different. But get the closest one you could find to what you believe would be a good, wholesome, godly church and go there and encourage those believers. We were on vacation. We looked and looked and looked, and it was hard to find. We finally found one on a Wednesday night. We were out in Tennessee. And those two people, I tell you, they were encouraged that we came. We were there for prayer meeting. And come to find out, the pastor of that church and I took the same apologetics course at Ambassador Online together. And we recognize each other's names and say, hey, I remember you. It just, sometimes the Lord allows us to see connections like that. But that's the fellowship of believers that we see and the things that the Lord allows us to be a part of. And so anytime that we're out, away from our own church even, just make it our priority to be in another Bible-believing church, a Bible-preaching church, where we can honor God with our time there. So let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll sing a final hymn. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you that you have established the church, the body of Christ, that we might be a light to our community, that we might edify one another, that we might encourage one another, that we might support one another, we might pray for one another. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to do our part to follow the covenants we have made here. And Father, I pray you'd help us to review this regularly, to remind ourselves, what have we agreed to? What should I be doing? Father, I pray that you would grow each one of us in spiritual maturity. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified through each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.